The Holy Gospel of St. John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Vicar Beth and I want to thank you for your grace to us today. I'm so sad once you prepare a sermon not to be able to give it, but I'm honored to do it on her behalf. Let us pray. Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us to your holy hill, to your dwelling place. Amen. Well, Beth wanted to be the first to wish you a happy new year. And before you jump to conclusions, any conclusions about a retailer's bandwagon, and move every holiday from Halloween to Christmas up 2 months, let me explain on her behalf. She's wishing you a happy new year because today, as we said, is Christ the King Sunday, which, by the way, is one of my favorite Sundays. The last Sunday of the church year, bringing things together. Yes, the church year does end today. The new church year, as we told the children, starts tomorrow, and next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent. So today is New Year's Eve of sorts for the church. Personally, Beth has never been particularly fond of New Year's Eve, and she says for several reasons. But the biggest reason she doesn't care for it too much is that she's sad to see the old one go. Not because it's been an especially good year, but it's been with her for 365 days. It's like a friend with all its ups and downs. It's comfortable, and she can look back on the good and bad with some nostalgia. She's sad to see the old year go and scared to death to see the new one coming. But a whole 365 days during which she had no idea what would happen to her or her family or the world that she would live in. But today, brothers and sisters, is not a day for sadness or melancholy. As today's reading from Revelation tells us, today is a day of rejoicing and celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ and the God who was, who is, and is to come. Many people are not sure what to make out of the book of Revelation. For some, it's fascinating. They use it in an attempt to analyze world events, which you probably are aware of, like predicting the coming of the end times or determining who will be and who will be in and who will be out in the rapture. For some people, the imagery is just way too violent. And they're not sure what to make of the coded apocalyptic language, which is language telling about imminent danger or final doom. Other people, probably many of us, simply avoid Revelation altogether. It's simply a book that people choose not to read. But Revelation is a book that fires up our imagination. The book's author, John, takes the reader from earth to heaven, from the present to the future. This revelation is about who Christ is and what will happen before and after the reign of Christ begins. It's directed to seven churches in Asia Minor, which is now part of Turkey. John's purpose in writing this letter is to show the seven churches corruption in their own society and God's judgment. But ultimately, his purpose is to infuse them with hope, with confidence, and that with the feeling that no matter what happens, how bad things seem to be now or maybe in the future, God is in control. He reminds them that the God they worship, as said so poignantly in this text, is the God who was, who is, and who is to come. Beth loves that phrase, and that's what we'll hear over and over again today. The God who was, who is, and who is to come. He reminds them also Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the one who testifies to the truth about God. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, meaning that those who die in Christ will be raised on the last day, just as Christ was, and that Christ is the King of all rulers. There are no earthly kings who seem to have all the power now, or who are greater, or who will ever, ever be above Jesus. Dr. Mark Allen Powell is a noted author, he's a Lutheran pastor, and a professor at our rival seminary, Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Ohio. In his book, Introducing the New Testament, Powell calls the book of Revelation an ironic invitation to joy, which is where the title of the sermon for today came from. She loves that phrase, an ironic invitation to joy. For we who believe no matter what happens, no matter what, we can be joyful because God is in control. And Jesus Christ will come reigning over the new heaven and the new earth. And that is what we really celebrate today, Christ the King Sunday. So what is there not to be joyful about? Well, perhaps, he says, the fact that we don't live in the future, but in the here and now, and that there is much corruption in the world that runs through our society. People don't have enough of the basic resources to live. The gap between the haves and the have-nots seems to be growing wider all the time. Children do go to bed hungry. Wars seem to break out so easily. Peace seems to be so fragile. How do we deal with our current reality and still live in the hope of a future where evil will be no more, wrongs will be righted, there will be a new heaven and a new earth? How do we do that? Well, we can live into this hope because of Jesus Christ, the God who was, who is, and who is to come. The God who was in the beginning, creating order out of chaos, pronouncing it is good. The God who was did call Abraham to leave his country and his father's house and to go to a land where God would show him. And Abraham did so along with his wife. He took her and all the possessions. They left the comfort that they did know into an unknown future because God was with them. And Abraham trusted God to provide. God was with them through all the joys and the sorrows and made a covenant with him that we are recipients of. The God who was through Moses led God's people from bondage to Egypt. In Egypt, he led them from bondage in Egypt. God was the pillar of cloud that led them from the desert by day, protecting them from the heat, and the pillar of fire by night, giving them warmth and light. The God who was present to the exiles in Babylon, telling them, "Surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future of hope." And the God who is with the people, these seven church communities, in their present reality. People who were trying hard to remain faithful to Christ in the midst of internal and external opposition by the Roman Imperial Empire. Worship was the religion of the day. Social pressure to worship the other gods was intense. Christians faced the possibility of being killed. They were under pressure economically. They were denied work because they were Christians. John reminds these Christians that no matter what the circumstances that they find themselves, the risen Christ rules all the rulers of the earth. He also reminds them, in a world that obviously worships power and many gods, including the emperor and the empress, that they are people who worship one true God, the Alpha and the Omega, the ruler of all. The God who is, Beth reminds us, is with us through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, sent to be our Savior, who died and freed us from sin and brokenness, and to bring us into a right relationship with God. A Savior who would make of us a royal priesthood, a Savior who would love and be with us always. We know that God has been with each of us from our individual beginnings. The psalmist reminds us of that in these beautiful words that he knit together our inward parts into our mother's womb. Our frames were not hidden from God when each of us was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. In fact, in our own trials and tribulations, we live as Easter people. We know God is with us. We receive God's comfort, hope, and joy. How? Through Scripture, through communion, through baptism, and through our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been through a lot as a congregation since last December, losing 2 staff members, 25 of our brothers and sisters lost through death, illness among staff and families, but many of you here today are going through your own medical crises and your own other trials and tribulations, often kept in secret. In the wider church, there really truly is persecution among Christians and other countries where their lives are at risk. There are divisions and splits over hot button issues like homosexuality and the ordination of gay clergy. Churches are facing decreasing memberships, decreasing giving. Our own synod needed to eliminate an assistant to the bishop due to decreased giving, which is in effect now. Individuals are faced with the losses from Hurricane Sandy as well as others. Pennsylvania's unemployment rate is over 8%. We just finished the very contentious election for president. Many are confronted with failed relationships or the loss of loved ones. You ask, "Okay, vicar," and I'll say, "Okay, vicar substitute," "how can any of this be joyful news? How does any of this boast of God being present with us?" Well, we need to remember that during the past church year, we confirmed five of our young people, had 8 baptisms, received new members, celebrated Peter Brown's 40th anniversary with us. There were many times of fellowship, like the picnic. We are a congregation committed to supporting others within ministry, collecting sneakers and soap and food, giving a Merry Christmas to children of incarcerated parents, which I mentioned earlier in the shop with a cop outreach, giving $5,000 a year to a challenge grant to a local agency that helps others, supporting Breakfast Fellowship, Criminal Justice Ministry, and on and on and on. New ministries are developing all the time. Beth noted that in my sermon last week, I said we are challenged. I'm trying to figure out what I said. We are challenged because life is hard, painful, and consists of many challenges. We are not guaranteed that something devastating or tragic will not happen to us today or tomorrow. We are wounded emotionally, physically, and spiritually every day. But we know that Christ is the solid rock on which we build the foundation of our faith. A faith in Almighty God who is ever present in all times and places and has complete knowledge of what is happening to us and to our world. We can carry on, we do carry on, knowing that God, who was, who is, and will be, is with us now. So much talk of doom and gloom, but the ironic thing is that joy can be found in these dark places. Joy and peace from knowing that God is in control. There is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on our external circumstances, our stuff. Joy, on the other hand, is internal. It is from God, and it runs deeper than happiness. Joy is present even in times of difficulties. As Christians, we get joy from knowing that we are God's children. We are made worthy because of Jesus. He continually loves us, frees us from the bondage of sin once and for all by his death on the cross, and made us into a kingdom, a priesthood of all believers, serving God and one another. We don't have to prove ourselves, so we are free to enjoy our lives no matter what our circumstances. And that is what we celebrate today on Christ the King Sunday, remembering the irony of joy in difficult times. Vicar Beth also found it ironic that news programs like the NBC Nightly News presents 25 minutes of coverage on war, on politics, on natural disasters, because that's what seems to be sexy and titillating. It's what sells air times for retailers and corporations. And there was only just a couple minutes, maybe 3 to 5, devoted to making a difference segment as on NBC. And when she sees that, though, people making a difference in the lives of others, it's evidence to her how God is breaking into the lives of others through the work of others. This past Tuesday evening, we celebrated the life of Sam Young Sr., who died on November 13th. He was a man who had a hard lot in life, a man who at times looked disheveled, but his joy was contagious. A man who did not have much, but like George Bailey, in It's a Beautiful Life, a Wonderful Life, could be considered the richest man in town. At Sam's memorial service, we shared many stories. Many people came forward to share how he had touched their lives, and it was amazing to hear that. Though he didn't have much money, he would buy things for family members in need. When he would go to McDonald's every morning and have like a group time with a bunch of guys and have conversation and fellowship. He would volunteer weekly for years at Breakfast Fellowship and ring the bells for Salvation Army. Beth said she'll never forget his greeting her every Sunday morning. "Hi, hon, how are you doing?" and getting a big hug. I told them, he also said to me, "Hey, how are you doing?" but he never said "hun" to me. We will also never forget his reaction to being baptized. When his brother Kurt died about a year ago and we were preparing for his service, I asked him if Kurt was baptized. He didn't believe so. So I asked Sam if he was baptized. And he said, "No, isn't it too late? He was 74 years old. And when we told him, no, it's never too late, he was filled with absolute joy. What was incredible from that moment forward until he was baptized weeks later, he told everyone he met that he was going to be baptized. And I mentioned Tuesday evening, it's really not typical to hear Lutherans go around with such joy. I know that we're, you know, I'm going to be baptized or this is going to, we're not that exuberant about things sometimes. But Sam was. I didn't want to tell him that. I didn't want to tell him we were more subdued because he was, his joy was absolutely contagious. He was baptized in January. He became a member in February here. And people commented that they saw a difference in him after both events. His demeanor changed. He became more peaceful, more joyful. How ironic, Beth asks, in the midst of mourning his own brother, that God broke into Sam's grief with this gift of new life and new joy. We did cry at his memorial service, mourning his loss, but at the same time, we were filled with joy with how Sam had touched so many lives. Out of this sadness came joy. That is God's inbreaking. That is what Christ the King Sunday calls on us to remember. Some days we may feel that God is not in control, that God's not interested in what is happening to us, and that actually we can do a better job of taking care of things than God. But folks, this is not the end of the story. Our God is also the God who is to come. As John reminded the seven churches, there will be things that need to happen before Christ returns and the kingdom of God is revealed in its fullness. We don't know when that will be. Even Jesus didn't know when that would take place. But we can trust that it will take place. God promises that it will, and God keeps his promises to us. We know that Christ will return, defeat the powers of evil. Justice will be for all. Everyone will have what they need, and once again, order will come out of chaos. So as we live in the tension between God who is and the God who is to come, and all the things that seem to be going wrong or are going wrong, how is this an invitation to joy? That's a question Vicar Beth asked throughout this sermon. How is this an invitation to joy? Well, she answers, it's an invitation to joy because God invites us to see God in all circumstances, to know that he has been with human beings since creation, is with us now, and will be with us when Christ returns. We do rejoice and celebrate this last day of the church year, not with huge Christ the King ads or doorbuster bargains or even special discounts. No, we celebrate with joy this past church year, giving thanks to our God who is the Alpha and the Omega, who was, who is, and who is to come, and to God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the same yesterday, today, and always. Amen.